Well, welcome back to the Church Tech 101 podcast. This is episode 9, and it's called Don't Drop That Mic. Let's talk about that. So I have a deep, dark secret to confess. I am a hopeless microphone nerd. I love everything about microphones. I collect microphones. I currently have more than 40 microphones that I own personally. 40, not 14, 40. It might be a problem. I think it's a collection. Isn't that how that goes? It's a collection. Yeah, we're collecting the microphones. But I'm always curious about them. What can I use them for? What can they do? How can I try them out? And so I just tend to collect them. I do sell some once in a while. I do. I mean, it's kind of rare, but it's possible. So people ask me a lot of times, like, Tim, what kind of mic do I need for this? Or what kind of mic do I need for that? And if I had to think about it, I think it's because they don't understand how microphones work, or because there are so many available options that they want to make a good choice versus buying something and having buyer's regret, buyer's remorse for buying that microphone. And so I get it. But I think part number one, we can help fix that. And because there's a way that you can decode microphones. And there are two main features of a microphone that if you understand what they are and how they work, then you'll be able to pick a good microphone for your application. And you'll be able to look at any kind of microphone and know how it works and understand its pluses and its minuses, I think. So the first thing is polar pattern. Well, that sounds kind of big and fancy, but what it really means is, how does your mic hear sound? So I want to talk about two main ones that you're going to see in live sound. One is omnidirectional. And if you think about it, omni means all, and directional means directions. And so what it really does is it picks up sound from all directions. The other type of mic is a unidirectional, which means it picks up sound from one direction. And that isn't entirely true, because some unidirectional microphones can also pick up sound a little bit from other directions, but not as much as their main focus, if that makes sense. So omnidirectional is used in live sound almost entirely in the head-worn type microphones that you see for speakers or pastors. And those head-worn type microphones use omnidirectional elements. And the reason they do it is that directional mics have something called proximity effect. So I'm speaking into a directional mic now, but if I get really close to it, then it's going to really add more bass because of the proximity effect of the microphone. And the closer I get, the boomier it gets. But if I back up a bit, it clears up. Well, omnidirectional mics don't do that. And so that's why they're great, because they're right on the speaker's face. And so if they got boomy, then the speaker wouldn't sound so clear. Now, normally I stay away from omnidirectional microphones. I was at a church in Ohio, and somebody on YouTube had told them, you need to buy these special omnidirectional microphones for your choir. Well, as soon as they would turn them up, they would just get feedback instantly, because the back of the microphones were pointed at the speakers, but they could hear the speakers clearly because they're omnidirectional. Remember in our episode about feedback, we talked about that we want to make sure that the microphone can't hear the speaker, but omnidirectional picks up everywhere, so it's a problem. Now, on head mics, it's not a problem because it's so close to the sound source you don't have to turn it up very much. But on choir mics, it's definitely a problem because you really have to turn up choir mics to pick up a large group of people effectively. And then, you know, trouble. feedback. So the other one is directional, and you'll hear me use the word cardioid a lot. And that's because the pickup pattern on the front of it is kind of shaped like a heart. But it just picks up sound coming in the front of the microphone. And it rejects sound coming into the back of the microphone. And that's really handy for live sound situations because you only want the mic to pick up the thing that you're pointing it at and not pick up anything else. So it's also really nice because I guess I could use an illustration. At Easter time, we had some strings and our music pastor wanted to pick up the strings for the sound system, but right behind these two violins is a row of four trombones doing their thing, blat, 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 really loud. Well, the thing that I did was I took a directional microphone and I pointed it over the shoulder of the violinists so that I could pick up the violinists. But the back of the microphone, which is the part where sound doesn't come in well, or the dead zone, is pointed at the trombones. So now, all the trombones aren't getting into the microphone effectively, but it can still pick up the strings. And so that is the advantage of a cardioid microphone, or a directional microphone, is that you can pick up the thing that you want to, and you can avoid picking up additional sounds that you're not trying to capture. The other thing that you can think about when you think about microphones is the diaphragm type. Number one is the polar pattern. So omnidirectional, cardioid, there are other versions, hypercardioid, supercardioid, and those just vary in their pickup pattern. But then there is the diaphragm type. So there are two main diaphragm types that you will see in live sound. There's a third one called the ribbon mic, but we're not going to get into it because it's expensive and not very often used in most church settings. So the first one is the dynamic microphone, and that you'll see in a lot of handheld type microphones where even on wireless mics or whatever, they'll use a dynamic element in those. How it works is it's totally passive. It doesn't need any power to work. And so it depends on being a big enough element or a big enough diaphragm that the air can move it and help create electrical signals, which is how sound is turned, is goes into your sound system. It's captured by your sound system. Now, dynamic mics are great because they are not so sensitive. And that's really wonderful if you're just trying to pick up one person or one thing. However, it's a problem if that person or thing isn't close enough to the mic. So if I back away from this dynamic mic I'm talking into now, just by a couple inches difference, so that's about 6 inches difference, you can see how the sound dies off really quickly. And if I get close to it, it gets louder. So dynamic mics are great, especially when you're trying to isolate. They're also really good at helping you keep feedback in check because they're not so sensitive. And so you see that a lot of churches are only using dynamic microphones just because it's simpler and they don't have to worry about feedback being a problem. And so that is definitely a benefit of a dynamic microphone. The other element that we're going to talk about, diaphragm type, is the condenser microphone. And these need power. So whether they're a handheld or a pulpit mic or a choir mic, because you'll see them in pulpit and choir mic applications quite a bit, they need to have something called phantom power. And in most cases, your mixer will supply phantom power. There'll be a little button on your mixer that says plus 48. And what that means is that you're adding 48 volts of power over that microphone line to power up condenser microphones. Now, don't worry, if you send phantom power to a dynamic microphone, it won't do anything. It just doesn't bother it. And so that is not a problem. So a lot of mixers have one button that turns on phantom power for all the channels. And that's fine. And there are exceptions to that. I have a video on YouTube called Stop Using This Cable. So if you want to see how you can blow up your laptop with phantom power using the wrong cable, go watch that. I think you'll be enlightened because I know some people who have done it. But as long as you're just plugging microphones into the microphone jack of your mixer, you're fine. I love condenser microphones because they're much more sensitive. So if I need to pick up a quieter sound, or if I need to pick up a larger group of people, I can move a condenser mic away from the group and still have plenty of signal to pick the whole group up, which a dynamic mic doesn't do really well. However, the caveat is that if you crank up a condenser mic and your system's not tuned well or your speaker placement isn't very good, you're going to get feedback in a heartbeat a lot faster than you will with a dynamic mic. But I love to use them. So the things I use them are pulpit mics, because sometimes there are groups that come and sing around a pulpit mic. It's nice to be able to turn that up and pick up everybody. And then there's also that person who comes up to make the announcement, and you can barely hear them talking at all into the microphone. It's a problem. And being able to turn that pulpit mic up and pick that person up is helpful. And so choirs, pulpit mics, I like to use them for acoustic instruments, violin, for wind instruments or whatever that I need to pick up. Condenser mics sound really nice and do a really great job. So anyway, as long as you know how a polar pattern works, and as long as you understand the element type, you can look at pretty much any mic and decode it. And that'll help you understand how will this mic work and what will it sound like. Now, as to the decision fatigue, the amount of mic companies and that are out there, it's just mind-blowing to me. So people ask me all the time, Tim, what do you recommend? Well, okay, let me give you a couple of things. So for handheld cardioid dynamic mics, that's what I recommend for vocalists. I really like that for vocalists. As long as the vocalist can hold the mic properly, you're going to get a nice signal. They're going to sound fine, and they're going to be much more resistant to feedback. And the ones I really like are the Sennheiser E835 and the Shure SM58. Those are both really solid choices. There is a Beta 58, and some people really like that one, but it does have the downside of being super cardioid. So if your singer isn't really good at holding the mic right directly in front of them, and they tend to move their mic around, then they're going to kind of go off mic like this all the time, and they're not always going to be very direct. So a 58's got a wider pickup pattern, and it's less prone to you fading in and out. For headset mics, I like an omnidirectional condenser headset. The reason I love headset microphones versus lapel mics is that headset mics stay in the same location on your head relative to your mouth, no matter what you do. If you look left or right or up or down, the problem with lapel mics is that sometimes they get clipped like way over on the left side of somebody's jacket. And then when that person looks left, they've gone off mic, and then all of a sudden, like, they're over on the right and they look left and they get really loud. So the volume goes up and down because the mic is in different locations based on their head movement. And so that's why I really like a headset mic, because no matter what you do as a pastor, if you look up or, you know, you look around, it just stays right there in the same location, and you get a good solid signal all the time on it. So my favorites there would be the Countryman E6 or H6. They're expensive. Good headset mics are expensive. Sennheiser, if you have a Sennheiser wireless pack, their HSP Essential Omni is great. If you have a Shure wireless pack, their MX-153 T/O is a great microphone, and a little more budget friendly. But I will say, good headset microphones are going to cost some money. Whatever you do, don't buy headset mics on Amazon. They are hot garbage. They don't last. They don't stand up to the wear and tear, and they don't sound good. And here's a little secret. when you're building a little teeny tiny microphone capsule, you need precision manufacturing. And precision manufacturing costs money to do properly. And so if you want it to sound really good, you need to buy a decent headset mic. And so if it's from one of the major mic companies, you're going to be in good shape. There are some other companies that are doing an okay job. There's a company called Thor that makes a headset mic called the Hammer, which is pretty good. There are a couple other companies. I can't think of any off the top of my head beyond that. I just really stick with Countryman. I feel like it's a good investment, or Thor is a good investment. Buy a decent headset microphone, because listen, 75% of your service is pastor speaking. The preaching of the word of God is important. So it's worth investing in a good tool to do that properly and get a good signal. That's my guilt trip. Buy a good head mic. choir condenser microphones. Oh, there's a lot of stuff I could say here. Budget-friendly hanging ones where you hang them above the choir. Shure CVO. The Audio-Technica Pro 45. That's been around for a lot of years and still a pretty solid choice. If you want your choir mics to be on stands, check out the Audix Micro Boom. Those are really sharp looking. They're an excellent mic, and they're very slimline if you need that aesthetic. If you're not so worried about aesthetic, then you can use what I call a pencil condenser, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But those are all great options for choir. There are, of course, other ones, and you know, as long as they're a cardioid condenser, you'll be in good shape. You just want to pick up the choir. You don't want to pick up anything else. And then you want to make sure that they're a condenser mic, because you need to be able to turn the volume up when you have the mic away for a certain distance and you're trying to pick up a group. And so get those over the head of the whole choir and point them down into the choir. And I will mention here, don't over mic your choir. I have been in situations where, you know, a choir of maybe like 40 people had 5 or 6 mics on it. That's too many. You're going to get a problem that is called cancellation. So what happens if your mics are, two of your mics are picking up the exact same thing, and especially if they're the exact same model of microphone, is that you're sending identical copies of that sound into your mixer, and electrically they will cancel each other and you'll get this weird hollow sound. So don't over mic your choir. It's going to end up sounding worse, not better. So a choir that has maybe 40 to 50 members or less, 2 mics is going to be plenty. If your choir is stretched out in a really long double line, then you can start doing zones and adding more microphones. But if your choir is just sitting in a basic kind of a standard size choir loft, 2 mics is plenty for that. I would not do more. Acoustic instruments. So, I mean, or brass or woodwinds. Well, maybe not brass, but woodwinds maybe. Cardioid condenser, small diaphragm. And when I say that, another word for them is pencil condenser, but they're kind of a small, narrow tube-like microphone. And just put in small diaphragm condenser and you'll get a whole bunch of them on Google. But those work great. Again, cardioid and condenser, because sometimes you have to turn them up to get a quieter instrument or to get enough sound out of them. Which is why I like condenser microphones. So here are kind of my top 3. If you're on a tight budget, buy a pair of Behringer C2, small diaphragm condensers. I think they are $60 or $70 for the pair, and they're just way better than they have any business being at that price. Rode M5 is a great budget mic, so it's $200 for 2. They come in a pair. I don't think you can buy them separately, but they're $100 a piece. Really solid. You can use them for all kinds of stuff, and they're really small, and they sound great and look great. You want to spend a little extra money? Try a Shure SM-81. I love these on choir. I just love them on acoustic guitar. They just sound warm and full. They're about $350 a piece. Sometimes you can find used ones, but I found that a lot of churches use these on their choir back in the day, and I can't tell you how many churches I've gone into where they had a pair of SM-81s just sitting in boxes in the sound booth. I said, do you know what these are? Like, these are fantastic. These are great. Like, try them on this or try them on that. And so look around. You might have a pretty good mic sitting around there. But excellent. Yeah, they're more expensive. Yes. I mean, you're looking at, for a pair, if you're going to do a choir, you're looking at $700. But they just sound fantastic. They're very, very good. And they're a quality mic. They're going to last for lots of years. I have a pair in my church that harken back to, I think, the early 80s. They've been well taken care of, and they sound fantastic. So, well, this is a little longer episode than normal, but I hope that it has been helpful to you. And I call this episode Don't Drop the Mic, because if you've ever had to buy microphones, they're not cheap, and I always kind of wince when somebody does mic drop, or, you know, especially a wireless mic, and, you know, you'll see people drop like $700 or $800 wireless mics, but I guess they're famous people and they don't care and they'll just buy another one. But for us as church sound guys, like, we're just happy to have good microphones and we try really hard to take good care of them. So, you know, don't drop the mic. Anyway, I hope this has been a useful episode, and I hope now that you can kind of decode the microphone you're looking at and go, oh, okay, that'll work great for what I'm trying to do. So, and as always, don't be afraid to try stuff. You never know what you'll discover. Anyway, have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode.